Our epistle for the second Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the name in the Lord Jesus Christ to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress or overreach his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called you unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. At that time Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias, talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. On hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise, and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one, till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we talked about ignorance. We are doing our meditations on the seven last words of our Lord. We took our Lord's word, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. We talked about vincible ignorance and invincible ignorance. This Sunday, we come to the second sermon that our Lord gave from his pulpit of the cross on top of that mountain called Calvary. We are forced to consider faith. Our faith. What is faith? If there is one thing that our Lord rebuked the apostles for, corrected them for, questioned them about, was their faith. Oh, you of little faith. If you look in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, verse 14, where he, right before he ascends into heaven, says he upbraids them for their lack of faith. He tells them the night before he dies that they would all lose faith in him. It's here a good consideration is the event when they were caught at sea in a great storm and our Lord was in the boat asleep and they were afraid. And it must have been quite the storm as they were all fishermen. And they woke him saying, Save us, O Lord, we perish. And he goes and calms the sea and the wind. And then he asks them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? We come to that sermon on Calvary, our Lord on the cross, his second sermon, second of seven. And the events must be considered as they have been given to us in Scripture. If we look at St. Luke, chapter 23, verse 32, And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him there, and the robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. A dexterum, a sinistrum. The one on the left, sinistrum. So the word sinister comes from. Dexterum, tradition holds, this is the place was held by the good thief. And it talks about how the soldiers were mocking him, how the people around were mocking him. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. In verse 39 it says, and one of those robbers who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, neither dost thou fear God, seeing that thou art under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done no evil. There's an attitude of contrition. He knows what's going to happen. He admits his sin, and he knows he's going to go before a just judge. And he rebukes his fellow thief. Actually, the term in Greek is kind of a highwayman. Thief or robber kind of puts a little bit of a less definition, a lesser definition of the type of criminal that they were. Highwaymen. These are the type that Christ talked about when he gave that parable of the Good Samaritan. The person going from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among robbers, highwaymen, and they left him for half dead. These were the type of criminals the thieves were. They weren't just some petty thieves. Well, they were warranted. Rejections of society. Good for nothing but death. And this man, as he hung on the cross, knew that his time was up. That in a few hours, he would stand before his judge. And he is shocked by the attitude of his companion. And he asks him, don't you fear God? We have sinned. This man is innocent. And this prompts him to pray a prayer. This is a prayer of faith, for he recognizes Christ as good. Does he know all about Christ? No. When he had an opportunity to learn more about Christ, he was probably busy doing his deeds that led him to that place of crucifixion. Oh, he had heard of Christ, no doubt, and he heard of the good things that Christ did. So obviously there was a question in his mind, why is he being crucified with me? All I've heard is he multiplied loaves and fish and fed the people. He healed. He cured. He expelled demons. He gave sight to the blind. Gave hearing to the deaf. Cleansed leprosy. Raised people from the dead. No, he's innocent. He didn't do anything close to what I did to deserve this. Maybe he had heard Christ speak of the kingdom in his passing. We don't know. Definitely he saw the sign over our Lord's head on top of the cross where it said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And so he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. And our Lord turns and looks to him and says, Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Note here that Christ did not tell him that he would be in paradise. He doesn't say, this day thou shalt be in paradise. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, my friends, when we're with Christ, we're in paradise. When we're without Christ, heaven and hell do not start when we die. They start now. And we make the decision of whether or not we want Christ to be a part of our life or not. But before we can make that decision, we have to be willing to recognize him for who he is. Want to know him for who he is. embrace him for who he is, not who the world makes him out to be, not for others or what's popular, but for who he is. Kind of reminds me of how he's so misunderstood. You go back to the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, talks about how the people, as they were wont to do, were murmuring against Moses. So God punished them by sending them serpents, fiery serpents, that many died. And so they besought Moses to pray for them, that they wouldn't, that they would be protected from these serpents. And so God told Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a tree, and anyone who looks at it would be saved. Of course, this was a prefigurement of Christ, as Christ himself points to. As Moses lifted the serpent in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted. He looked like the serpents, but there was no poison in him. Just he looked like the sinner. He was crucified with the sinners, but there was no sin in him. If you read ahead in Scripture to the fourth book of Kings, chapter 18, you see that Ezekias, the prophet, takes that brass serpent and breaks it, destroys it. Why? Because the people had taken the serpent and they were offering incense to it. Just like people take Christ and make their own version of Christ. This isn't true faith. Faith is believing who Christ is. Faith isn't believing who you make Christ out to be. Faith is wanting to know what the truth is. Wanting to abide with Christ, even though you know you so imperfectly understand him. God doesn't weigh your knowledge, he weighs your want. I want to know you more. Now it comes to us here, and the lesson this brings before us at this moment. In a few moments, the priest will turn around and say, "Behold, look, this is the Lamb of God. He who comes to take away the sins of the world. Do you believe?" Then he uses the words of a Gentile. Words that came from a pagan that were said to our Lord. From the centurion who said to him, after our Lord says, "I'll come to the house and cure your servant." He says, "No, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Say but the word, my soul and my servant will be healed." And of course, we change the word servant for soul, our soul. It's a good reminder to us that a humble and a contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. Just like the humility and contrition of that good thief, Dismas, who stole the Lord's heart on Calvary and won for himself paradise to be with his Savior that day. So my dear friends in Christ, as we continue with Holy Mass today, as we continue with our Lent, let us beg the good Lord to enlighten our hearts and our minds, to motivate our wills to follow after he who is the truth, he who is the way, he who is our life. Let us believe in him, or want to believe in him, for who he is. Study him as he is presented before you today. Under the appearance of bread and wine, he is lifted up so that you might look at him like all those people were able to look at him on Calvary, but so many didn't recognize him. Many blasphemed him. But there was one who had faith, a criminal, a sinner, who turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, remember me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.